You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
All right, so this evening we've got a little bit of a treat coming up. So we're going to look today at Thinking with God Part 2. But before I get to present that and we get to do a little something together, Reese is going to come up and just share a little devotional for us to kind of piece together what we did on Sunday with what we'll be doing tonight.
I'm usually up here singing, so I'm grateful for the opportunity to get to share a little bit. And I really appreciated CJ's sermon on Sunday. He asked me to do this because I texted him and I sent him a scripture that his sermon had reminded me of that I had been thinking about. So he's like, oh, would you want to share that with everybody? So here I am. But yeah, I recently started a class on the Bible Project's website on 1 Corinthians. And there's a lot of great resources on their website. But so I've just been starting that. And so the scripture was on my heart and it really kind of connected to what CJ had shared. So I'll read it here. It says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. And I've been thinking a lot about this scripture because, I think, I don't know if anyone else here can relate, but whoever feels confused or overwhelmed by things in scripture they don't understand, if you and I think it's a great time that we live in a time today where we have so much resource at our fingertips to look to research things to gain understanding. And I think a lot of times I kind of bypass God's gift to me of the Holy Spirit to teach me, you know, learning a bit about the Corinthian church in the context of this letter, Paul is writing to a group of people who are in this really big multicultural city, this port city, so there's a lot of ideas coming in and out. At that time in the world, there was a lot of honor and, like, these great thinkers, this kind of rhetoric, these people, like, Stoic ideas, things like that. And this group of Corinthians, he gets into calling them out on a lot of things later on in the book, but really the root of things, and I think why he's emphasizing the wisdom from the Spirit in the beginning of the letter, is because they felt so confident in their own wisdom and their own way of seeing the world and seeing things, and they had a real pride about them, and that's where a lot of their faults that he addresses later on comes from, is because they found so much honor in their time at maybe being able to speak well for themselves, to have good organized thoughts, to be wise in their own eyes. And I think it's such a blessing to remember. It's both challenging to be like, oh, I maybe don't, because I can definitely see how I want to appear impressive to people or like appear like I know the answers to things. But it's such an encouragement that God knows, like CJ shared in the beginning of Ephesians, that blessing of, like, we have every spiritual blessing in God. And one of those is the blessing to be able to see and understand Scripture through the Spirit. That the mystery of God isn't something that we have to, like, with our effort, kind of attain to and study and feel like. Sometimes I read Scripture, I'm like, I'm not an expert in ancient civilizations. Like, I don't know the context of this. I don't understand. And I'm trying to ask God, like, God, let your Spirit teach me. Let your Spirit guide me. No one can know the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And he has given us the Spirit of God to be able to understand, to have the mystery. So when CJ was sharing about thinking with God, this scripture was really on my heart this week as I was reflecting, because I think so often I kind of doubt my ability to understand on my own. And rather than look to other people as my sources of wisdom, God is like, I gave you my spirit. You have my thoughts. Like, you can sit with me, and I want to share my thoughts with you. Like, he's not holding off, I'm this amazing God, and you can't know me, and you can't reach me. He's like, I want to give you, like, you have my words, but I want to tell you what I think about them. Like, even today, all these crazy things that are going on in our time, it's like, how do we respond? And there's so much human voices trying to speak human wisdom into how we should respond. And God said, I want you to have and sit with my spirit and hear what I have to say, like, and hear what I have to think. So it's really on my heart. I pray that we as a church can be thinking about how do we slow down and be like slower to respond. We're in such a like quick to anger, quick to speak. So, you know, like, how do I, sometimes I find myself starting to say something. I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know what I believe about this. Like, I'm just saying stuff because everybody's talking. And I'm like, God, like, let us slow down. Like, let me embrace, like, I want to know, God, what you think about this. I want to know. And he wants to reveal it to us through his spirit. It's such a blessing. So I just wanted to share the scripture. It's been on my heart. And CJ will talk more about how we can think with the spirit together. But.
I have got nothing more to say. That was wow. Thank you. Thank you, Reese. That's fantastic. Thanks so much. Okay, so let's just remind ourselves of the text in the first part that we were looking at on Sunday. So Ephesians 1, 15 to 17 says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. How's that been this week? You know, just giving thanks for people. You know, it's a great encouragement. It does something to you, you know, when you adopt that posture, especially with people, as I said, that you may have found challenging, you know, than you would prefer, then that's the time to give thanks for them in prayer. It's amazing. So I've not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better. You know, one of the study series that we look at a little bit is by someone called Ralph Wilson. Steve has referenced him last week or the week before. And, you know, he said the ultimate goal of this wisdom is to simply know God better. That's it. And you know, like as Reese shared, he's given us his spirit who knows the mind of God to be able to speak to our mind, which is amazing. But there's a disconnect, you know, isn't there, I think, in how we live as Christians. And so the knowledge of God is not, this is what Ralph Wilson said. He said the knowledge of God is not just intellectual, but it's an intimate, experiential understanding of his character and his will. The knowledge that God wants us to have with him is totally relational. Next year, Shri and I would have been married 25 years. And so, but we know one another way more than we did 24 years ago. Not just because we, you know, said hi to each other in the morning, because it's relational. So where am I going with that? So hold that thought for a second. And so God's goal for us is that through this relationship with him, that's not an intellectual relationship, that we would get to know him more fully. So there's a book I've been reading recently, just finished it. It's called The Solution of Choice. And it's in the family of Life Model Works. So, and they present this. They say that one of the problems with Christianity and our version of it, not ICOC, but just Western Christianity, is that we think that transformation comes from being given the right information, said in an inspiring way to help you make better choices. And then that coupled together, all those three coupled together will lead to transformation. How does that work out for most of us? Not too good, because we change through relationship, really. Yes, we do need the right information, but if we're only ever in that intellectual understanding of God, it doesn't produce the transformation. So here's an example. So when we have our quiet times in the morning, it's as if God only can tune into us in the morning. But really, we're doing it, and the idea should be that we're trying to then, we kind of almost set ourselves up in the morning so that we can try to get to know God better throughout the day. Okay, that's what we kind of tell ourselves. You know, hey, oh, I didn't have a great day at work. Did you have a quiet time this morning? As if that was the magic pill that you needed in the morning. And if you had done that, that would have fixed your whole day. There's probably some truth to that, right? And I'm not saying don't have any quiet times in the morning. Okay? But the problem is that we compartmentalize our time with God. And then we do it in the morning and we check it off. And then we say, okay, God, see you tomorrow. I hope, if I'm not too busy. And then throughout the day, we know, you know where I'm going? It's back to that relationship. If it's only just, hey, see you tomorrow morning, babe. What happens to that relationship throughout the rest of the day? Yes, we may have been married for 25 years, but do we have the depth of relationship that's brought about transformation as we learn to know one another more deeply? That's what it looks like with God. And so would God prefer that you read a verse, your verse of the day, even on your app, but don't put it into practice, or that you just read one scripture and then that soaks through your entire being throughout that day as you contemplate, as you listen, as you strive to put it into practice, as you connect with him through his Holy Spirit, listening for his wisdom, striving to learn how to think or act based on that one scripture that you read. You see, it's the latter, isn't it? That's what he desires, that deep, deep, deep connection, so that we can know how to know him better or learn how to know him better. So information plus inspiration does not lead necessarily to better choices, which does not equal transformation. There's a spiritual way that even this 1 Corinthians 2 and what Paul is trying to teach, you know, the Ephesians there, that there's a deeper way for us to live as Christians. I've shared this quote before, but it is a real favorite of mine. It's very convicting. Dallas Willard, a person can have perfect quiet times for 30 years and still be angry, anxious, or self-centered. Every day, yep, spent my time with God. Did you have a quiet time today? Yes, I did. How's anger? How's anxiety? How's self-centeredness? Oh, I didn't read about that. There's a disconnect. Because what happens is that we get to learn about God, but not get to think with him. And that's the big difference. And so it's our Christianity has become this journey of learning about him, thinking about him, thinking that that will be the thing that causes the transformation. But it isn't. The goal is that we saw in scriptures that he wants us to truly think with him. There's a huge difference between the two. One of them helps us to learn more about maybe the character of God, but one of them invites God into our reality throughout every single day. So Jim Wilder, who co-wrote Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You, he has this concept called being in a mutual mind state with God. And he says that being in this, thinking with God, produces an opportunity of a life with God, or with God life. How different is that from just that morning quiet time? A with God life. We would think with God rather than simply think about him. When we think back, and maybe you've done this, maybe you've perhaps thought back to maybe a situation that didn't go too well, and you thought back and you thought, wow, what would God have wanted me to do in that moment? Anyone relate to that? What should I have done differently? That's good, because we can learn to do different next time. But what would God have preferred? That we think with him in that moment. That we create that space, remember, to slow down, to stop, to pray, to listen, to obey. So that in real time, we're able to make the right choice. Not because we're just aware of some scripture that might fit that situation, but that we're creating the space to truly think with him in that moment. And the more that we do that, the more real he becomes to us, so that we truly can live with the mind of Christ, as that scripture in Corinthians teaches us. That's just not just a nice fancy scripture that presents this nice ideal that we'll get in heaven. That's right now, that's a reality for us, to actually live with the mind of Christ, to make decisions with the mind of Christ. But we just need to learn and shift so that we can do our thinking with him in real time. When we do that, it changes our character, it changes our words, it changes our posture, it changes our actions. And so what Paul is saying, we can do this if we would only make room for him. So remember this quote on Sunday, spirit-enabled capacity is to think with God, not merely about him, but in real time, to shape our immediate action reactions and our character in every situation. And we were doing, of course, living from the heart Jesus gave you, and we were exposing perhaps some of our own immaturities. I really believe, though, part of our immaturity is that we've not learned how to think with God. We've not learned how to be with God in every moment. And that compartmentalization that we do, it keeps us immature spiritually. And so I think it's a beautiful opportunity this year as we're really striving to be led by the Spirit to learn how to do this. So how did the first century Christians, how might they have had quiet times? Well, I don't know. But if many of them, and for the first 10 years at least, were Jews who became Christians, then logically they would have carried their Jewish practice into their newfound faith in Christ. And we know that Jews would have, they prayed throughout the day, but particularly they prayed at 9 o'clock in the morning, they prayed at 12, and they prayed at 3. And so prayer was this kind of more habitual practice throughout the day. That's something that we can do, isn't it? So we pray in the morning. Sheree and I have a 3 o'clock prayer, and I think she has a 9 o'clock, a 12 o'clock, a 3 o'clock, a 6 o'clock, and sometimes this morning a 6 a.m. one as well. To have this rhythm of just constantly trying to connect with God. What a beautiful thing to do. You know, and I know that our work schedules don't all allow for something like that. But maybe there could be an extra one that you could put in as a reminder at a convenient time, or even at an inconvenient time, and people are like, what are you doing? I'm praying. Who knows what that could open? But also within their times, they would have these little short prayers as well, but they would memorize scripture to use, of course, throughout the day. They didn't have a New Testament to carry around with them. They would have psalms memorized and sing. The Bible says they would sing songs to one another. We saw Jesus doing that with his disciples. And all of that does, it reinforces our spirituality. And we're going to look in Ephesians 5 about the importance of singing songs to one another. But what we do know is that it was less of a quiet time hour or 30 minutes or 20 minutes. And it was more of a rhythm of connecting with God, remembering Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit throughout the day. And what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus is, don't forget you've got the Holy Spirit. What he's saying to the church in Corinth, yes, you're wise. Don't forget you have the Holy Spirit. He says to us, yes, you've got the entire Bible on your phone. Don't forget the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful, incredible gift that we have. It's right there at our disposal. Oh, we don't need it. Wow. Imagine what our life, our community, our family, our struggles would look like if only we learned how to do this. So that kind of draws a line under that one. And let's move into the second part where we'll do some work together. So Ephesians 1, 18 to 20, he goes on and he says, I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So it's the same language. And he's emphasizing here that there's a spiritual perception that is open for all of us who are in Christ. We should not be looking at our Christianity in worldly terms. We should not be engaging with God in the way that we've just discussed, but there's a true heartfelt spirituality and revelation that God wants to give to every one of us. But there needs to be an enlightening that happens within our hearts. So we have to do look and say, well, what's going on in my heart? So remember on Sunday, we spoke about that there can sometimes be trash, junk, garbage that just gets in the way of the Spirit really influencing us. So we do have to examine, you know, what's going on in my heart? And sometimes, as we looked at, it could be some trauma, could be some wounds, could be just some sin, could be just some challenges in life, anxieties. Those things, if we're not careful, can block the Spirit really from impacting us. But ultimately, the goal of us having an enlightened heart is this, so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of power to us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So he's saying here, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have inside of us through the Holy Spirit. Do you think that you have the same power as the power who raised Jesus from the dead? I don't think we do. I think our power is little p power. This is big P power. This is the greatest power the world has ever seen. This is creating the universe power. And yet we see it as this little thing who can't even help me overcome a temptation or give me the words to say to respond wisely or lovingly. Wow. He's like, do you know what you have? Do you fully understand the gift that you've been given? And I think for many of us, including myself, I don't think we do. So he says, I'm praying for you to get to that level. So that's an encouragement that even the first century church weren't there. Even they didn't get it. And they were much closer to it than we were. And Paul's answer is, I'm praying for you. So we can pray for one another to be able to get to that point. But what we're going to do as we finish is this. So he talks about three things that he wants them to know. First of all, the hope of his calling. Secondly, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. This means for the saints. And then the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. So what I'd like you to do is in groups of two or three, what is the benefit of you knowing each one of these three statements that Paul is saying he wants the Ephesian church to fully grasp, to completely understand? What is the benefit of each one of those? Okay? So you have about 10 minutes to discuss. Try and get as deep as you can. If you're not sure, pray for the Spirit to give you wisdom. Okay? And then we'll have a little bit of feedback and to see what you guys can teach one another on this last point. And then we'll finish with prayer together. Okay? So you have about 10 minutes or so. Okay. Okay. It's great to see you all talking and dialoguing. So first one, what is the benefit of us knowing the hope of his calling? So you could think about, you know, their context, but particularly for us, do you think? What is the benefit for us? Sri and I were talking about, you know, if you think about what they might have faced to become Christians themselves, think about, remember the context of that riot. And it's easy, perhaps sometimes, to be like, did I really make the right choice? Yeah. You know, my family have abandoned me. You know, and all the other difficulties that might have gone along with them. And I think he's reminding them and say, listen, the stuff, the challenges that you're facing, the difficulties that you are going through, don't worry about it. The hope of his calling for you far outweighs anything and everything that you will face in this life. And again, I think you're right. We can put our hope in so many, you know, earthly things, worldly things. And not that that's bad, but if that becomes our ultimate hope, then, you know, we may be sorely disappointed, you know. And so having God as our ultimate hope, I think that's what he's trying to ground us in. So, yeah, it's amazing. Okay. Oh, Carrie, yeah.
I wanted to add to that because what I was thinking about is if we could really live into his calling for us.
That's true.
Then we can show up in these challenging situations like Christ and really be the light that he's asking us to be.
Yeah.
Storm as well.
That's right.
And that is the greatest calling and challenge, you know, for all of us. But it is so simple, too.
Yeah.
It's like, don't complicate it.
Yeah.
Let's all just show up the way that he has called us to show up.
Why do we not do that?
Same reason. We put our hope in other things.
Yeah.
Or we're grieving. Mm. And we don't know how to show up in that.
Mm.
Or potentially we are very challenged by what it is that we think the calling, what we get confused.
That's right.
So
yeah.
It's very important that we keep our mind and our heart in the Word.
Yeah.
So that we are always on that straight and correct path.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Wow, I feel fed. That's good stuff. Very good. Okay, next one. What is the benefit of us knowing the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints?
So it reminds me of 1 Peter 2, verse 9, where God says that you are chosen race, for the royal priesthood, holy nation, etc. And I was like, truly believe, like, let's say, like, I'm Princess Kate's daughter. Like, if I was, like, genuinely royalty, had real blood in me, I would have this, like, air of confidence without, like, a doubt. But I could just move about life in a very certain way with, like, the confidence that, like, I, if I ask, it will be given to me.
Yeah.
And so if I truly believe that, I've kind of given me both courage and surpassing and greatness of the power. Like, I truly believe that, which is said in the Bible. Then, therefore, I would utilize the capital P power. And, like, it's like, like, about life so differently because I fully believe that, like, I am his daughter,
yeah,
his kid. Therefore, I can do this with his power.
Yeah. So, that's awesome. That's great. We will come to you, Nathan, but just on this. So Steve did a devotional a couple of years ago for our staff meeting that we had, and he was sharing from Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. And in that, this bit, there's this favorite bit in there where he talked that I love, because I agree, I related to Brother Lawrence a lot. And he says that Brother Lawrence believed that he was God's favorite child. And I was like, I believe that too. It's like, and so that's what you're saying. And if you think about Ephesians 1 alone, we've got riches mentioned here. We've got lavished a few verses above. We have riches of spiritual blessings again mentioned. And that's what he's trying to say, is that we are all his favorite child. If only we could get that and fully live in that when we pray, God's like, oh, of course, that's angels, get going. My favorite child just prayed for this. Let's go. And I believe that, like, things that I pray for, I believe that happens, right? Cherie says, oh, you pray for something, God listens to you. But that's for all of us. That's for all of us, really. So I love that concept. That's beautiful. Okay, Nathan.
I think to build off of that, an analogy that I think that fits, or to kind of set the context, I recently just got an EBT card. It's amazing. I go into that money, right, as a California resident. For the past, like, as not just that, I didn't have work over the summer, so I really saved up money just so during the summer I was not working, I would be able to, like, do stuff I needed for, like, lab and research and still be able to eat food, right? So for months, I've been able to paycheck to paycheck, pinching pennies, a little bit stressed and anxious about, like, how am I going to make this work? And my roommate Jonathan was like, you do realize EBT exists, right? So I finally applied, I got a card, and I realized, oh my God, I literally could have been saving like $200, $300 a month. I had access to this rich, glorious inheritance.
I was wondering where this was going, but all right. Okay. That's right.
And the second part of that is, in order to obtain an EBT card, you cannot make a certain amount of money. The beautiful thing about understanding of having riches of this glorious inheritance is it takes the pressure off of us to perform and do things that we were designed to do on our own. Right? So that's the thing, is that in order to qualify for an EBT card, I can't make enough money. The spiritual metaphor. If we were too spiritual, we could do it on our own.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. But that's a beautiful thing, is we qualify for spiritual EBT, and if we need to, we can call on that to be our offer, and we couldn't have the capacity to provide that for ourselves.
Wow. Amen. Thank you. Wonderful. All right. We are running out of time, so I would like to get to the last one, and then we're just going to have a time to pray together. So last one, his surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. So what is the benefit of us knowing that? Anyone wanted to share?
We can be bold and confident.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about, can I get off early so I can go to church? We can just, hey, I'm leaving, I'm going to church. You have to ask permission
Any additional thoughts? Nathaniel, and then Asia.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between like knowing it intellectually, like, oh yeah, God's great. But like to actually know that in your heart, I think that will actually affect your life and how you view sin, how you view
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's true. That's great. Thank you.
Yes. I think, you know, his riches and the glorious inheritance we have as saints, you know, we want to help people as saints. And when I realize that I have the glorious inheritance of Christ, it expands my territory. It expands me wanting to help more people. Mm-hmm. It expands me wanting to reach across the world to help.
Yeah.
Because I know.
That's right.
And I'm a saint who wants to do what's good for somebody. So it gives me more access and open flow to God's glorious inheritance.
Amen. Thank you. That's great. Okay, so to end, what I'd like you to do is to pair up with somebody and pray Paul's prayer for that person that you are with. Okay? So it's simple, but it's powerful. And then, maybe if you can remember, just commit to praying this prayer for one another, just over the next week, over the next few days, okay? And extend it to the whole West Side. So this week I've loved praying this prayer for the West Side. And I think of, you know, people pop into my mind and faces, but it's a great way thing to pray, okay? So pray for one another, pray for each other, and then this week, expand it if you can. And then we'll be dismissed after that.
You've just listened to the West Side Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.